1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, page 1865. Now, by this we know that we know him, that's Christ, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. And then we have God's word summarized for us in Lord's Day 52, which is on page 257 of your forms and prayer book. Page 257 and 258. Question and answers 127, 28, and 29. What does the sixth petition mean? And we confess, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil means. We are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. How do you conclude this prayer? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This means that we have made all these petitions of you because, as our all-powerful King, you are both willing and able to give us all that is good, and because your holy name and not we ourselves should receive all the praise forever. And what does the little word Amen express? Amen means this shall truly and surely be. For it is much more certain that God has heard my prayer than I feel in my heart that I desire such things from him. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I was not with you when you started the Heidelberg Catechism on this cycle. You've had many different ministers bringing it, and I hope there was some continuity and working through it. And yet there was something about it that our elders feel, that our church, as a group of churches, still believes that it's important to work through these great truths of Scripture. You know, other churches have what we call a liturgical calendar. But if you work through the Heidelberg Catechism, you will work through all of the liturgical year as you go through Christmas, and you go through Good Friday, and you go through Ascension Day, and also Pentecost. We've gone together through sin and who we are without God in our lives, that when we were our own, we were in misery, and that we needed to learn that from the law. But then that law also drives us to Jesus Christ, where we find about our salvation, and then we are driven and led to the Holy Spirit, whereby we are made ready to serve him and to love him and to give our lives in loving service to him. Sin and salvation and service, all in the great, wonderful understanding, I am not my own, but I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're thrilled about that, and there's a beautiful comfort in that because we believe that the Bible teaches us, and that's why we confess that this earth and this life is nothing but a veil of tears. Now, I know sometimes people don't like that kind of language, isn't it? Should you be more optimistic? Shouldn't you be happier? But we should be realistically optimistic. Realistic in the sense that for some of the old people, maybe you remember that song, Life is Not a Holiday on Primrose Lane. It's filled with trial and struggle. It is the narrow way. It is a steep way. It is a difficult way that leads to the kingdom of God, that when we knock on that door, then Christ will say, I know you. That there is no easier, softer way. And that when the light of God shines in our hearts and our lives, and that's what the catechism does for us, you move from being blind, as John talks about there for us, he who walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I was hated by my neighbor, and I hated my neighbor, and I certainly hated God. I was prone to all of that hatred, says John. And then the light comes on, and then we are able to see amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was blind, but now I see. And slowly but surely, as we progress in the Christian faith, we move from a child's magnifying glass to a biologist's microscope. And we begin to see more and more the nuances of our lives, the sin, the darkness, the depth that clings, but also the beauty and the marvel of having this comfort in life and death. I am not my own. We have been changed. We are filled with love. If we abide in him and he in us, then we overcome the wicked one. We overcome death. We overcome sin and the devil. And then we understand who we are in our weakness, and then we understand who God is in the strength of his power, in the marvel of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the changing nurturance and power of the Holy Spirit. So we're in a battle. We're in a battle against the devil. We heard that this morning from Psalm 20. We know that we're also in a battle against sin. And that the world is constantly influencing us. That the world always says, walk with us. Life on the golf course today would seem better than coming to church. That we have entertainment, the world says. Our music is better. Our movies are better. our computer games. It's all better than what you can have in church. And did God really say you can be comforted? Look at your lives. Look how difficult your lives are. Look at all the money you spend on Christian education. Did it save your children? Did it make everything better? And he bangs away, and he bangs away, and the world bangs away. And then our Father in heaven, through John, says, hold to the faith. Hold to that love. But we also know that we are weak in our own sinful flesh. Our egos, our pride, our unwillingness to forgive, our desire sometimes to even hold on to hatred and the things of sin. And then Jesus, knowing who we are, asked us to pray that we would remember, lead us not into temptation because we are weak, but deliver us from the evil because you are strong. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are weak, but he is strong. And then all of that moves in so that we, with John, can give all the glory to the Almighty Father. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But if we love, then we walk with the Father. And whoever does the will of God abides forever. And so Jesus commands the church to pray for God's protection and deliverance in the spiritual battle. First of all, then we'll see the Christian's weakness. Lead us not into temptation. And then the Christian strength. You, O Lord, our Father who art in heaven, deliver us from the evil one. And then the Christian's glory. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Forgiveness. That is something that John gets at. And we talked about that last time. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And when you pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father in heaven, make your name great in our lives. Father in heaven, take care of us. Father in heaven, we can't even feed ourselves. We can't even give ourselves a little crust of bread. Give us today our daily bread. Give us life. Sustain that life. Father in heaven, we need you. And Father in heaven, please forgive us. Please justify us. Please save us. Please redeem us. Please remember our sins no more, because we're weak and we keep falling into sin. And you know how we keep falling into sin? Because we keep praying, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And we realize, though that's true in a small way, it's not true in a total way, that for all the forgiveness that God gives to you and me, how often do we really love God with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, with the totality of our being, with the totality of our lives, all the time? And we say, we're not even close to that mark. And we know that we're not close to that mark, because what John's writing to us clings to us. It's just so easy to get angry with one another. It's so easy to live in the darkness. It is so easy to just get frustrated with our fellow men. And the devil is just good at it. The devil seems to know who we are and our nature, doesn't he? He seems to know exactly. And it seems like it all comes together. You're just having a lousy day, and then your wife or your husband just says that wrong thing, and now you're done. How can they be like that? Why don't they understand me? Why am I not getting love? Where is the compassion? You feel like you've done a really good job, and then the boss has still something to say. How many of us haven't struggled because we didn't feel like mom and dad loved us or praised us enough, or that we were criticized by them? And we can hold on to that. It can ruin your life. It can ruin our lives. Forgive us, Father, as we have forgiven our debtors. Let us let go of our hate. Let us no longer walk in the darkness. We don't want to live, in that misery, speaking of. We don't want to live that way anymore, dear Lord. But it clings to us. Now, when we're praying, lead us not into temptation, we're not praying, Lord, never test us. We're not praying, Lord God, work in our hearts and lives so that you would burn that hatred out of us, that you would burn that darkness out of us, that you would purify us so the luster of our faith, is, as Peter says, for now you're going through various trials, that the luster, the beauty, the gold of your faith may be even better than the worldly gold, that it may shine in this darkness. We know that we need help. And Lord God, we need you to do everything. But what we're praying for now is, please, Father in heaven, don't let me get so caught up in my hatred that I would go back to the man or the woman I used to be when I was born in sin and death, when I did not abide in you. And Father in heaven, please don't let me be a liar. Please don't let me be one of these people who says I'm a Christian and then just dumps on everybody else, who's envious of the elders, who doesn't want to follow authority, who's always got some bone to pick with mom and dad, and the list goes on. You know, as I was preparing here, that they brought up that whole matter of the 18th century, the mid-18th century in the United States, and in part of Canada, there was a movement called the Great Awakening. And after this sort of lull, after the settlement of the English in the United States, there was a lot of drunkenness. And there was a lot of debauchery and womanizing. And then Charles Wesley and other men came in and began to preach the gospel. And there was a great conversion that was happening. But one of those men that came was a man named John Wesley. And John Wesley, looking at passages like we just read, where we read, "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him," actually taught that once we receive Jesus Christ and we make a choice for Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. You only have to pray, "Lord, forgive us our sins once. Lead us not into temptation." You only have to pray once. You will never sin again. Doesn't the Bible say we're perfected? But It's interesting because just before that, in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not within us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Who is our righteousness? It's Christ. Who is the one who saved us? It's Almighty God. Who is the one who falls into temptation? That's me. Father in heaven, I can't stand for a moment against the diabolical trio of the devil and the world and my sinful flesh. That what we confess at the very beginning, I don't know if you even remember it, that I'm prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. We all confess that together. That's who we were, and that still clings to us. Romans chapter 7, a wretched man that I am, the sin that I don't want to do, I keep on doing it. Father in heaven, lead me not into temptation. Don't let me go down in the flames. Father in heaven, I can't stand without you. I am weak. I can't feed myself. I can't redeem myself. I can't earn my forgiveness. And Father in heaven, I need you now. I need you to keep me holy. I need you to sanctify me. I need you to purify me because I'm tired of stumbling around. I'm tired of the hate that clings to me. You know, one of the great things about glory, when we pass away and we go to heaven, or if the Lord comes and we live in the new heavens and new earth, is then we will never have to pray again. Forgive us our debts and lead us not into temptation. Aren't you looking forward to that? Don't you get a little tired of every day, Lord my God, I can't even begin to think of how many ways I have offended you. I'm tired of my weakness. Help me now. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be the person you want me to be. That I would never be a liar. That I would never say that I don't sin. That I need you. You see, that truth, it shines in us. And that's why the catechism is so helpful for us, especially in the way that it went through those Ten Commandments. All those little things of the Ten Commandments, of what we're not to do, but what we're supposed to do and don't do. How we're supposed to have no other God, and yet we covet, and we always have other gods. How we're supposed to love him and hallow his name and never take his name in vain, and yet by the way we live as Christians, we bring dishonor to his name. Remarkable thing who we are. Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation. Father in heaven, we don't rest on the Sabbath. We're thinking about work all day. Father in heaven, there's so often that we think that the 6 days that we labor is how we provide for ourselves, that we're something, that we're all that. Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into the temptation of not loving our neighbor as ourselves, of the desire to be our own boss, to not submit to authority, to not recognize authority as a gift of God, to even hate authority so much that we violate the command of murdering, of how often we don't speak the truth in love, in the way that we look at another man or another woman, or the way we treat our husband or wife. We realize that spiritually we're committing adultery all the time. Lead us not into temptation. Father in heaven, help us when we really don't put in a whole day's work. How often do we fall into that? How often have we really given 100% for the paycheck that we receive, for the grades, or for the schoolwork we're gifted to be allowed to do? And we know. Father, lead us not into temptation. Help me. But what John's also saying, you can't say, lead us not to temptation, and then go out and do the thing itself. That becomes nonsense. That becomes hypocrisy. That becomes cheapened grace. That brings no hallowing to the name of God the Father. It shows no sense of his holiness and what he can do. And it shows an utter disrespect for what Jesus did for us on the cross. What we believe he did for us on the cross. Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound? No, Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Lead me not into temptation. And you can go to him. Look what he writes, John. I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven you. For his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. The Father abides in you, and you in him. I have written you, fathers, because you know him who is. I have written you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. And then the first thing he says is, do not love the world. Deliver us from the evil one. God can do that because his is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We pray out of a strength. And the Christian strength is this God. This God who can and does cause us to stand up against the devil and his whole dominion. So yes, there are those sins in our lives, and all of those are working for your good. They drive us to our Father in heaven. They keep us humble. And some of us have known the consequences of our sin that were absolutely humiliating. That everybody knew what we had done. That we have fallen from grace. Sometimes it's just someone close to you who knows it. And sometimes you just know it yourself and you're disgusted by it. And then even there are times when you wonder, how am I going to get out of this mess? How am I going to get out of this addiction? How am I going to get out of this constant gossiping or this constant telling little lies or this constant laziness or this constant time spent behind the computer wasting time? Father, deliver us from the evil one. Give me your power. Give me your strength because I can't stand, but you can. I can't release myself, but you can redeem me. I am not my own, but I have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed me, released me, purchased me from the tyranny of the devil. Yes, he's a tyrant. The devil hates me, and he hates you. And the people of the world hate God, and they hate you. I think, Christians, we need to start understanding that. Secular government, people in government who do not love God, hate God and hate the church. And that's becoming evident all over the world now. Where do you go where the church is really allowed to flourish? That hatred is becoming more and more open and more prevalent as the world becomes more and more insane in their darkness. And they hate you because you are the light. And the light of God is within you. And why is that? Because you have overcome the evil one. You have been given strength. You have been able to stand. You are not going to hell. You are not going to fall into the flames. Because God answers that prayer, deliver me from the evil one. And he says, I've sent my son to die for you. I have given his blood unto a complete remission of all your sins. I will remember your sins no more. You've overcome. I take all your guilt away. You've overcome. And now, here's the hard part. I also will release you from the power of the evil one for your shame. That's the hard one. Shame is brutal. Shame is the way the devil keeps you down. I'm so bad. How could God love me? I'm so bad. Why would I even pray? That's the moment you need to pray. Lord, my God, as Christ died naked, taking my shame on the cross in front of his mother, in front of all of those women, in front of the whole world to see, Lord, my God, you see me. Love me. Free me. Give me power. Deliver me from the evil one. You know, that's why in the Reformed faith we fought so hard against Jacob Arminius. And that the Arminian position that most Christians in North America actually hold to. That I make a choice for God, and then when I make a choice for God, I deliver myself from evil. How can that be? When Ephesians 2 says, we were all dead in our trespasses and sin, and you he made alive again. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He changed your heart. He gave you faith. And it's by that faith alone that you come to understand that your salvation is by grace alone. We learn that in the Bible alone. And we learn all of that to the glory of God alone. Only He can deliver me. And we pray that day after day. Lord, I'm prone to temptation. I'm prone to falling into that temptation. Well, look what the Catechism says. Uphold us, make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Beloved, are you stuck in a sin? You feel like Satan's dominating you? Then call out, Satan, get behind me. Our Father who art in heaven, make your name great, glorify your name. Even then, right, it has to be not about my deliverance, first of all, but the glory of God, first of all. Father in heaven, glorify yourself, save me. Father in heaven, glorify yourself, protect me. Father in heaven, may everybody see you in me. And if that takes humbling, and if that takes humiliation, and if that takes discipline, test me. And when I am in the grips, in the hands of the flesh, or of the world, or of the devil, deliver me. And notice, by the way, it's us. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. We pray as an army. We pray as a family. We pray together as the body of Christ. And so you pray that for your child. You pray that for your father, your mother. You pray that for the people who aren't coming anymore. You pray that for those who have been excommunicated. You pray that for those who are on the way, perhaps, to excommunication. You pray that for one another. Father in heaven, deliver me, but deliver us all. You don't know everybody's sin. You don't know everybody's temptation. You don't know everybody's captivity to evil. But God does. And He knows and He hears that we petition. What better way can there be when we say, he who is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness now, than to pray for that brother or that sister and say, look, if I hate that brother or sister because they have sinned against me, Father in heaven, lead them not into temptation and deliver them. The quickest way to diffuse anger is to pray for somebody else. The quickest way to love somebody is to pray for somebody else. If you say Jesus Christ has delivered you, don't you want that for everybody else, even your enemy? Even the person who makes your life miserable? Because that's the way that they're going to finally love you. If they would make the Father in heaven's name great. And again, we get back there. How is the prayer answered? You have been forgiven. You have overcome the wicked one. You have known the Father. You have known Him who is from the beginning. Because, young men, you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Father in heaven, deliver me from evil. Yes, my son. Yes, my daughter. I can do that. I am your help, and I am your strength. I am your refuge. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture because He has made us and He has saved us. Believe it, beloved. Don't let the devil get a foothold. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt the power of God. Give Him all the glory, for yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power, and yours is the glory. No, He starts with that authority. Whose is the kingdom? Our Father who art in heaven. Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. Don't lead me into temptation. Feed me so that I can live for you. Feed me so that I can be involved with your kingdom. Forgive me, Heavenly Father, so that I may remain in your kingdom. Give me a heart of love that I may relate to everyone well in your kingdom. Protect me, deliver me. And I'm praying this because you are in charge of everything. You rule everything. Then we get back to what the Catechism talked about. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, who in 6 days out of nothing made everything, and who upholds everything by his merciful hand, so that even the evil that we do is turned for our good, or he frustrates it. He is in control. He's got the whole world in his hands. Even the devil has to serve God. Even the devil is to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. He knows. He knows he's done. He's running around. He's trying to take as many with him. And even, beloved, the devil knows that he can't rob you of your salvation. Jesus made it clear. If you belong to me, you belong to my Father. And if you belong to my Father, no one can snatch you from my Father's hands. Not even the devil. All he's trying to do is wreck your witness. All he's trying to do is destroy your faith. But ultimately, God wins this because his kingdom is going to come. And all other kingdoms that stand opposed to him, as we've heard over the last couple of weeks, will fall. And we ought to pray for that. Because all authority belongs to our Father in heaven, who has given it to Jesus Christ. And he's ruling the world for us. He can deliver us. Because in that great big kingdom that he has, the kingdom of darkness is subservient to him. If God is for us, who can be against us? For yours is the power. Is there anything God can't do? You think about that. He forgives our sins. And not only does he forgive our sins, he comes into our hearts and lives, John is telling us, that we would walk with him, that we can say, I know him, that we begin to keep his commandments, that we begin to walk with him, just as Jesus Christ walked. That's a power in you. That's not you. That's Christ in you. Anytime you do something good, praise him. Every time you've done something for the good of the kingdom or something happened that you go, wow, praise him. And don't deny it. And don't be so humble that you totally look over what God's doing in your life, that somehow that's bragging. Brag about him. Boast in him. He is all powerful. Hallowed be your name. Remember we said that? Our Father who art in heaven, he intimately knows you. He loves you. He's interested in you. He has a relationship with you. Who is in heaven, there's nothing he can't do. And he will do everything for your good and to save you. Believe in him. The prayer drives us to this faith. And how does he do it? Well, the Catechism has talked about that, hasn't it? Through the power of preaching. With the keys of the kingdom. That every time the gospel is proclaimed and you hear those words, repent and believe, then God is working through the church, through the preacher, through the proclamation of your lives, through discipline, where the church together, and then through formal discipline, through the elders, hey, brother, you're in bondage. We want to unlock that prison door for you. You don't have to live that way anymore. Don't live that way anymore. If you live that way, you're going to die. We're here to help you. We're here to love you. That's the power of God through the keys of the kingdom, through the means of grace, again, through preaching. This is who Christ is. We preach Christ, and we preach him crucified. Always. You can't save yourself by keeping all the law. You can't pay God back by trying to thank him. The preacher leads you to see your need for Christ's sin, what God has done in Jesus Christ, your salvation, and then the service that you come by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that justification and sanctification come together and you have a new life. And through those means of grace, we add to that then the sacraments, take and eat, take and drink, remember and believe. And faith is strengthened. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And faith is strengthened. For his is the kingdom. And he gives you the keys of the kingdom. And his is the power. He gives you the means of grace. So that all of us would be drawn together and say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace towards men with whom he is pleased. We are that peace. Now we have to protect that peace. We have to work hard to be the people of peace. But this is a place where peace like a river, when sorrows like sea billows roll, is proclaimed and announced and believed, and we say, it's well with my soul. And it can be well with your soul. And we give God the glory and the honor. That glory, right? He is the perfect light. He is all light that shines forth. And it's an amazing thing to us. If Christ would come in all his glory, we would fall to the ground. We would probably die. And one day you're going to behold that glory when you are perfected, when Jesus Christ comes again. And then you will know the kingdom, and you will know the power, and you will live in the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. And then it ends with that little word, amen. Everything we ask of God, that he's asked us to ask him for, everything that Jesus commanded us to pray for, will be answered with amen. It's a word that all of you know. It's a Hebrew word that you all know. Amen. Along with hallelujah. And it's a beautiful word, isn't it? Amen and amen. Verily, verily, truly, truly, it is so. That's why we say amen at the end of a sermon. And you know, in Israel, whenever the leader said amen, then the people would respond with an amen. Which is why even at the end of the service, when I say the amen at the end of the blessing, then you respond with the triple amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It really means that despite the weakness of our faith, Father in heaven, what you've asked us to do in that prayer, we really believe that you are going to hear it. That you are able to and you want to hear it. That if all 7 billion of us prayed all at the same time, Jesus would decipher those prayers and God would know all of them and he could answer all of them and does. That's a remarkable thing, isn't it? That's how powerful God is, and that's why we need that amen, to live that life out of that amen. This shall truly and surely be, for it is much more certain that God has heard my prayer than I feel in my heart that I desire such things. Amen, we've overcome the evil one. Amen, our sins are forgiven. Amen, you men are strong. Amen, let's not love the world any longer. Amen. We're not going to hate our brother or our sister anymore. Amen. We're going to walk with the Lord by the light of his word. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Please, Lord. Please, we can't stand. We're weak. Lead us not into temptation. But you are strong. Deliver us from evil. And we know that because yours is the kingdom and yours is the power and yours is the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the prayer that Jesus gave to us. And Father, as we learn more and more to pray and pray out of it, we pray, first of all, Lord, that your name alone would be glorified. But Father in heaven, we would dwell on the marvelous wonder that it is by grace alone you have saved us through the gift of faith. And that faith alone helps us understand that it was Christ alone through whom you provided our salvation. Father in heaven, we pray now that we would be in your word. For it's in your word alone that we've come to understand all of the great truths of the sin and salvation and service that is our lives. Our new lives. We pray, Father in heaven, that the truth would set us free and we would no longer be our own and that we would give up self-rule and autonomy and that we would give our lives to you, a Father in heaven who loves us. Father in heaven, we pray all of these things because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.